This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb and tonight's guest, Ruth Montgomery, on her new book, A Gift of Prophecy. You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, night people. This is Gibb. Our guest tonight, Ruth Montgomery, newspaper woman and author of Gift of Prophecy, the biography of Jean Dixon, the Seer of Washington. Jean Dixon, you'll recall, was the lady who predicted the assassination of President Kennedy and tried repeatedly to warn him of his danger. Author Ruth Montgomery could not be in our studio tonight, but did consent to a recorded interview direct from Washington on the amazing Jean Dixon. So we'll change our Night Call mode of operation slightly tonight and play sections of the interview and then invite you, the audience, to call us here at Night Call directly and comment on Jean Dixon or tell us whether or not you believe man can foretell the future. If you'd like to call us here at Night Call, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. Dial us direct. If you wish, you may make the call collect. Remember, that number is area code 313-846-6601. The lines are now open. Ruth, how did you come to write a book on Jean?
Well, as a matter of fact, Jean had been asking me to write a book about her for several years. She kept telling me that this was a book that I should do. She was the psychic one because I was paying very little attention to what she was saying. But after I had finished doing the book on Mrs. LBJ, Lady Bird's book, which came out last year, Jean then said to me, now is the right time to do the book on me. And she must have been right because it's already gone into the sixth printing and isn't due out for another week or two.
How long have you known Jean Dixon?
I first met Jean at a party in 1952 when she was reading for some of the presidential hopefuls that year. I wrote a little story about it. In fact, at that party, she told who the successful candidates would be. And she called to thank me and asked me to come over and read, that she would read for me, which I finally did after a little urging. And then I began, just as a light change of pace, writing my annual New Year's column about her predictions for the coming year.
Would you classify Jean as a fortune teller?
Never. This is just the opposite of what she does. Jean is an extremely religious person, a Catholic who goes to Mass every morning of her life, not just on Sundays. Jean is much more nearly a prophet, like the Old Testament prophets, but she is in no sense of the word a fortune teller.
What's the difference between a fortune teller, a mystic, and a prophet?
Well, I don't know that I'm a real authority on that, but a prophet, of course, sees things through spiritual visions, and this is the way Jean feels that her most important visions come. She says that no vision that she has ever had has ever been misinterpreted or has ever failed to come to pass. A fortune teller, of course, is they use different means. Ordinarily, cards, or they read palms, and they try to tell you what stock you should invest in or who you're going to marry, that sort of thing. But Jean's is a much higher level operation than that.
Does Jean ever charge for her readings?
She never has, and she never will. She's refused tremendous sums of money. Well-to-do people have offered her large sums, and perfect strangers have sent her $50 checks and $100 checks in the mail begging her to read for them, but she always returns the money. She feels that this is a God-given talent and that if she ever tried to commercialize it for her own self, she would lose this talent.
What, in your opinion, are the most important visions that Jean has ever had?
Well, the book goes into a series of four visions at the end, which I think are really spectacular in their importance because they seem to open up a curtain on tomorrow for Jean. They seem to show what we can expect during the entire remainder of this century. in one of these visions, she saw a baby being born in country that seemed to be Egypt. She saw Queen Nefertiti and Pharaoh step out of a solar disk and hand a little baby to the world. And in the, it's much too long to go into that vision, but she says that this baby, who was born in 1962, is destined to lead warring creeds back to a united religion and a common worship of God. And then, of course, she saw she first saw that President Kennedy would be assassinated in a vision in 1952.
Has Jean ever read for you personally?
Yes, that first time after I met her, when she called and said that she wanted to read for me, I paid no attention. I merely thanked her, and a week or two later she called me again, and I did then go over to her house, but to me it was just a lark, like, as you say, going to a fortune teller at the fair or something of the sort. That was what I thought. She told me things which seemed awfully far-fetched to me, and I gave no further thought to them until one by one they began to come true. Then I had to change my tune a little.
How does Jean read?
She has a number of different methods of interpreting the future. As I've spoken of the visions, this is the one that she considers to be by far the most important and the most infallible. Then she uses a crystal ball to try to see what is in store for a person. And then she can touch a person's fingertips, a perfect stranger, and pick up vibrations. And quite abruptly, she will say to this person, "When you were 17 years old, a tragedy occurred which changed your whole life for the worse." Or she's just as likely to say, "When you were 40 years old, something happened which opened up your life and made your dreams come true. It changed your whole life for the better." And each time that I've ever seen or heard of this occurring, the person's mouth has dropped open, and in that exact year, they can identify what it was that did change their lives.
Have you ever seen anything in Jean's crystal ball?
No, I've looked and looked, and all I ever see in it is my own distorted image. And you know how your nose is always bigger when you look into a ball than ordinarily, so I don't even like to look in.
What about the charge that Jean predicts, or I should say, what about the charge that Jean's predictions are general in nature?
Well, I don't see how they can be called very general in nature when, for instance, on the morning of Teddy Kennedy's plane crash, she asked a woman whom I've interviewed since then to please get word to the Kennedys to ask young Senator Kennedy to stay out of private planes for the next 2 weeks or a terrible tragedy will happen. That night his plane crashed and nearly cost his life and did cause the death of two people in the plane. And then, of course, with the President Kennedy tragedy, beginning 3 weeks beforehand, she begged people to get word to him not to make a trip south that he was planning or he would be assassinated. At this time, the White House hadn't even announced that he was going south, and no one else knew about the trip to Texas. She told several people that Marilyn Monroe would die by her own hand, that she would be a suicide. I could go on and on with hundreds of these, and in fact, they're related in the book. They don't sound very general to me.
Our guest tonight, Ruth Montgomery. Our topic, her new book, Gift of Prophecy. You're tuned to the Night Call Network. This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our recorded guest tonight, author Ruth Montgomery. Our topic, A Gift of Prophecy, her new book on the amazing Jean Dixon, the Seer of Washington. We'll continue our taped interview now and invite you to comment on Jean Dixon or on the topic whether or not you believe that man can foretell the future. Give us a call here at Night Call. The number to call is area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere in the United States collect. Please make the call station to station. The number to call is area code 313-846-6601. The lines are now open. Ruth, do you think that God is talking directly with Jean?
I'm not an authority on that. I think that it is a God-given talent, just as one person has a great talent for music and another for art, another for writing. I think that Jean feels that in the visions, God is actually showing her the future.
What religion is Mrs. Dixon?
She's a very devout Catholic. And in the book, I quote what Monsignor Magner of a Catholic university says about her, that there's nothing in what she does or in this gift that she has which conflicts in any way with the tenets of the Catholic Church. He points out that, in fact, the Church was founded on vision.
Is Jean always right?
No, Jean is by no means infallible. Thank heaven she isn't, or I'd be worried to death about some of the things that she says sometimes. But she is her batting average is so high, so much above normal, that there's no other way to explain it than to feel that there is a gift here that is not given to most people.
What is Jean's batting average?
I've never tried to analyze it, and of course I have no way in the world of knowing what all the predictions that she has made. But when I went back through my columns that I've done, the New Year's columns over the years, I would guess that at least 75 to 80% of what she said came to pass.
In reading the book, I found that many of her predictions tend to be conservative politically. Is Jean a conservative?
I don't actually know that Jean is anything politically. She's always been a registered Democrat.
Had you ever visited a medium or a fortune teller before you met Mrs. Dixon?
Yes, when I was a senior in high school at a party, there was a woman there who read our palms. She was not a professional, and let me make clear that Jean is also not a professional. This woman told me that I would become a very well-known writer.
And that, of course, succeeded.
Well, at least I hope so.
Will Jean read for anyone?
No, but Jean has such a tender heart and such an understanding heart that it upsets her when she has to say no. She has to say no, of course, now because she's swamped with thousands of letters and telephone calls from all over the country. Now they're beginning to come in from all over the world since the foreign edition of Reader's Digest is out. But during the war, when she used to go to the USO parties and the parties that they gave for the servicemen here at various embassies, people would line up, and she would read for all of them. They would simply take their turn, waiting patiently until she could read for them. And she's done this also for many charity parties here. In that sense, she'll read for anybody. In other words, she never draws the line at not reading for someone. It's just a lack of time and strength now.
In your book, you compare Jean with a saint. Do you think that Jean is a living saint?
Recall that I compared her with a saint, unless you're talking about Joan of Arc. Elder Michaud, who is a Negro elder who has a number of top Negro churches along the East Coast, has called her the Joan of Arc of my people. Not being a Catholic, I don't even realize what it takes to make a saint. I know that they don't canonize a saint ordinarily for several hundred years after the person has died. I have no way in the world of judging whether Jean is a saint, but I know that she's a very saintly type of person.
In your book, you compare Jean physically to the Madonna, and other people have done this. Why?
Now, I didn't compare her to a Madonna. I told about the five or six different instances in which people were very startled in exclaiming, "Well, you look like the Madonna," to Jean, or in saying, "For a moment, I thought you were the Madonna." People have told me about this reaction when they have met Jean. I myself, I've never associated with that.
Why did you write about Jean Dixon?
I think it was mainly because Jean had said that the time was right, that I should do it. I have great faith in her psychic qualities, but I must confess that the main reason I did it was because a publisher finally came to us begging me to do the book about Jean and begging Jean to have me do a book about her, and brought a very nice contract with a nice big advance.
How is A Gift of Prophecy doing?
It won't be out for another couple of weeks officially, and yet it's already gone into its sixth printing. I understand some 70,000 copies have already been printed, so it looks like a runaway bestseller. At least the publishers feel that it is.
Hello.
And Miss Jean Dixon. And, of course, the amazing Jean Dixon. Our guest tonight, Ruth Montgomery. This is the lady that wrote the new book on Jean called A Gift of Prophecy. And if you'd like to call us here and make a comment on whether or not you believe that it's possible to read the future, give us a call here at our night call number. The number to call is area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere in the United States. Collect. Please make the call station to station. The number to call, and the lines are now open, is area code 313-846-6601. Now, if you get a busy signal, don't become discouraged. Just dial again. Area code 313-846-6601. While we were talking with Miss Montgomery, we got involved with one of the questions, and I asked Jean, or rather I asked Miss Montgomery, whether or not Jean had to know the person intimately to read for him. And she said the only thing that they really needed was the birth date. And I wondered as to why this was so. And so in talking with Miss Montgomery, we asked her to explain, why was this that Jean always had to have a birth date? Well, not always, but the majority of times needed a birth date of individuals. And she said this.
She asked for the birth day, like June the 11th is mine, but not for the year, which she would do if she were doing horoscopes. She asked for the birth day because to her, the crystal ball represents either the year or the world, depending on what she's seeking when she looks into it for answers. Therefore, if you're born in January, say that your birthday is January the 22nd, she will look to the front of the crystal ball for you. If you're born in June, as I am, she will look toward the center, or in November, toward the back of the crystal ball. It helps her to pull out the vibration of that person, she says.
Well, we now have a caller from Des Moines, Iowa, a listener on WHO. And I can't make out the last name, but the first name here is Joe. And so let's go now to Des Moines, Iowa. Hello, sir. Speak right up. You're on night call. Your comment, please.
Yes, sir.
Can you speak up, please?
I was wondering if, to your knowledge, if there has been any other mind readers in the Washington area, such as Jean Dixon.
Well, we talked about that with Jean. I should say with Miss Montgomery. Actually, we have Jean Dixon going to be on the show in a few days. She's been ill. That's one reason we didn't have her tonight. But we got talking about that, and I'm not exactly sure whether or not this answers your question, but it comes close to it. If Tom will push up cartridge
no,
two here.
There's a chapter in my book about Abraham Lincoln, while president, frequently summoning a young woman who was a medium. Her name name was Miss Maynard, and it goes into quite a bit of detail there about the various times that she went there and went into trance and told him about events of the future or events that were going on at that moment, which, of course, is another phase of it. Now, Jean never goes into trance. She's not a medium.
So, Joe?
Yes.
Yeah, I wonder if that answered. Could you hear the reply?
Yes, uh-huh.
So evidently there was another gal out in Washington. Do you believe that it's possible to foretell the future, Joe?
Well, I think one person has shown it's probable.
Would you like to know what the future...
Pardon me?
Would you like to know what the future holds in store for you?
That's a pretty hard question to answer at the moment.
Would it frighten you, do you think?
Pardon?
Would it frighten you?
At times, I believe it would. Yes, sir.
Do you have any other comments you'd like to make, Joe?
No, just I listened to your program. Enjoyed it very much.
Well, thank you. You're very kind, sir. A gentleman named Joe, we never did get his last name, from Des Moines, Iowa, a listener on WHO. Our lines are now open on Night Call, and if you'd like to call us here and comment on A Gift of Prophecy, the book about the amazing Jean Dixon, call us here at area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere in the United States collect, and please make that call station to station. The number is area code 313-846-6601. And we now have a caller in Tampa, Florida, a listener on WHO, Mrs. Payne. Hello, Mrs. Payne. Speak right up, ma'am. You're on Night Call. Hello? Hello? Well, it seems to have lost Mrs. Payne here from Florida. That's the way she goes some nights. But the lines are open, and if you'd like to call us here, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. Another question that we asked Miss Montgomery about the amazing Jean Dixon was whether or not Jean felt that the United States of America would continue along its present governmental lines. Because in the book, she made some remarks to the effect that it might not be so. And when we asked Ruth about this line of reasoning, here's what she said.
She has seen in some visions that the Republican and Democratic parties, as we know them, will change within the next 10 to 15 years, that we won't have a two-party system such as we have now. And, of course, she has seen that that a terrible war will come in the decade of the 1980s, which, needless to say, will affect America.
And so you see, she has some changes in store for us. You're attuned to Night Call, and our topic tonight, of course, is The Gift of Prophecy, the new book by Ruth Montgomery, which deals with Jean Dixon. You'll recall this is the lady who foretold the assassination of President Kennedy, and she has made other world-shaking comments as to what things are going to happen in the future. And this book is now on sale. It came on sale on the 25th. And so if you'd like to call us here at Night Call and make a comment, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Our guest tonight, Miss Ruth Montgomery. She's the author of a new book called Gift of Prophecy, which deals with the amazing Gene Dixon, the seer of Washington, D.C. Miss Montgomery couldn't be in our studio, but she did consent to record an interview, and we're playing that interview on Night Call tonight. If you'd like to ask a question about the book or about Gene Dixon, give us a buzz here at Night Call. The number to call is area code 313-846-6601. The lines are now open. Now remember, you may call from anywhere in the United States collect. Please make the call station to station. The number to call is area code 313-846-6601. And we'll now continue with our recorded interview. Ruth, has it ever entered your mind in your wildest dreams that possibly, just possibly, that Gene might be a charlatan?
Well, I'm sure that when I first knew Gene, it would have crossed my mind. I'm not sure that I understand the word charlatan there. I mean, I think that in those days I may have thought that it was just humorous and that there was really not much to it except the law of averages. But certainly in the last 6 or 7 years, I have been convinced that she is the most genuine person in her belief in this, and that she is the most unselfish person I've ever seen in putting herself out, spending endless hours helping other people and reading for them when she will take absolutely no remuneration for it.
Gene sees signs, yet signs are open to interpretation. You know, witness the stop sign. Some slow down, some stop, and others disregard it completely. Have you ever tried to take the signs that Gene gives and have them interpreted by another person?
No, I don't. No, I've never tried to do that. Gene, through the years, has learned to interpret her symbols. I have to count on her own interpretation of what they mean to her. But sometimes, you see, every December we get together to arrange for the New Year's column, and I ask her questions about what does she see for, let's say, Khrushchev. I did that a couple of years ago, and she said he would be replaced within 18 months, and of course he was out in 10 months after that. I ask her what will happen to, I ask her once what would happen to John Foster Dulles, and she said he will not be in the cabinet after the middle of next year, and I said, Gene, this is ridiculous. The president depends upon him more than any other cabinet member. He wouldn't think of letting him go. She said, no, he won't let him go, and I said, well, Mr. Dulles is certainly not going to quit. This is the job he's always wanted. She said, no, he won't quit. And then in that quiet way of hers, she said, Mr. Dulles will not be living by the middle of the year. Well, needless to say, I couldn't write that about a healthy man. But finally, in my column, the way I referred to it was to say, reluctantly and against his will, Mr. Dulles will not be in the cabinet after the middle of the year. Well, as we all know now, in late January, he went to the hospital, and they announced that he had cancer, and in May, he was dead. Well, I don't know what her symbols showed her there. All I know is the results.
What about the idea that many high people in government have asked Gene to read for them? Is there any feeling that possibly our government, in some sense, is being run by Gene?
No, I don't think so at all. I do know that a number of very top people leading right into the White House and sometimes in the White House have asked Gene to read for them. She never tells this herself unless they tell it or unless it gets out through no means of her own choosing, because she regards these confidences as a doctor or a priest would, but certainly there's no feeling that Gene is running the government.
What about President Johnson? Is he aware of Mrs. Dixon?
I'm sure that he's aware of Mrs. Dixon, as everybody is who's lived in Washington as long as Mr. Johnson, but she's never read for him.
What about the sign and the signs and visions from a psychological point of view? Certainly many of them carry strong sexual images, particularly from a Freudian point of view. Has this ever come to your attention?
Do you mean visions that Gene has seen or that other people have seen?
That Gene has seen.
Well, I don't know what symbol she has seen that carry that. Can you be more specific?
I believe there was one vision where a snake proceeded to come in bed with Gene.
Well, I have just returned from covering a dream seminar in Virginia, about which I've written a series for my newspapers that will run in papers around the country in September. And there, the symbol of a snake in a dream could have two interpretations. One was treachery, or one was wisdom. They said nothing about it being a phallic symbol or a sexual symbol. Of course, I'm familiar with some phallic symbols, but I have never heard of a snake being one. I wouldn't know.
Have any psychologists interviewed or witnessed Gene?
Yes, in the book, of course, I quote several times from Dr. Regis Reisenman, who is a parapsychologist and a psychiatrist, one of the outstanding ones. He was on the staff of St. Elizabeth's Hospital here for 15 years and now has his own private practice and is a consultant to a number of hospitals. And he says that that he's made a hobby of investigating psychics to expose them, and that he's also made a hobby of investigating psychic phenomena over the years. He says that he has no doubt in his own mind whatsoever, but what Gene is a perfectly authentic prophet, and that she has the greatest psychic ability of any that he's ever investigated, even in times past, delving back into history.
Ruth Montgomery discussing the phenomenal Jean Dixon and her new book on Jean called A Gift of Prophecy. We have a caller now from Marshalltown, Iowa, a listener on WHO, Mr. Gary Lamb. Hello, Gary. Speak right up, sir. You're on night call. Your comment?
I was just wondering whether or not your prophet had ever talked to someone else that does the same type of thing and sort of compared notes or anything like that.
Well, now, I asked Ruth something similar to that. Unfortunately, this was in my first interview that I had with her before we recorded her, and I think her answer was that no. In fact, Ruth, rather Jean, hadn't even read any books on any other people that do this type of mysticism or mind reading. So I guess the most truthful answer that I know of would be no, that Jean Dixon doesn't go along or go around with other psychics, as it were, and that she's a pretty independent type of gal. In fact, I talked with Jean today on the telephone, and she's been ill for the last week and a half. She was on the Today program, but she was still under sedation. She had had a tooth extracted and took a reaction to the Novocaine that they used. That's one reason we didn't have Jean here tonight. However, she is a very religious type gal, and when you talk to her over the telephone, you get the sensation that here is a gal who really has a gift, but is not, how shall I say, commercializing it, and really doesn't care what other people are doing as far as psychic phenomenon is concerned. Do you have any other comments, Gary?
Yes. Well, how would you go about getting hold of this woman if you wanted to contact her by phone or mail?
Well, I want to tell you, that's a... that's quite a trick, because the first three times that I tried to get a hold of Jean, we had difficulty. As you can imagine, she gets thousands of telephone calls, I imagine, in a week, and she has thousands of pieces of mail, and it's rather difficult. But Ruth Montgomery, in our interview, did comment on this, so I'll play that part of Ruth Montgomery's comment about how you get in touch with Jean Dixon.
No, she has thousands of letters now, as I've said previously, and it's impossible even to open most of the letters yet. The phone calls have come in to such a fantastic degree that she's even had to have her home telephone disconnected, and the switchboard at the office is instructed not to switch calls to her unless they have been carefully screened and they know they're a personal friend. At this time, I just hope and Jean hopes that people will understand why she can't do it. She it's not a profession with her, and she could go to an early grave if she tried to meet all the demands that are now being made upon her.
And that, of course, was Ruth Montgomery's comment. Gary, I hope that answered your question. Mr. Gary Lamb from Marshalltown, Iowa, a listener on WHO. And thank you, sir, for calling Night Call.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Good night, sir.
Good night.
And we now have another caller from Iowa, a listener on WHO in Ogden, Iowa, Mr. Len Marshall. Hello, sir. Speak right up. You're on Night Call.
Yes, sir.
Your comments, sir.
I can hardly hear you. I wonder if I'm being heard.
Yes, we can hear you very clearly, Len.
I wonder if Miss Dixon has made any prophecies about our space program, and if she has, what do we expect to find when we get to the moon, provided we get there?
Well, now, I asked Jean that one myself, and she has made some predictions on the space program, and that'll be coming...
I can hardly hear.
That'll be coming up on the last part of the interview, where she talks about space, as I recall, and we'll be playing that in the last 15 minutes, or do we have a cut on that now? Okay, wait a minute, we do have a comment on it, so let me play that comment that we pre-recorded with Ruth Montgomery on Gene Dixon on space.
Oh, many times. My columns are always full of that every year. She, in her interview with Roosevelt in 1944 and 1945, she told him that Russia and the United States would not remain allies, but that much more than a generation later, they would again be allies against Red China. This is when Roosevelt said in a startled voice, "But China's not red." And she said, "China will go red." And he said, "Never." And she said, "But it will, Mr. President." And then she has predicted that Russia, over the years, she has told me in my columns that Russia would be leaning more to the west. She predicted the schism that developed in the very year in which it developed between Russia and Red China, when the bad feeling began there. And she has continued to say that Russia will one day be our ally against Red China in this devastating war of the 80s.
I'm hearing your radio, yes.
Okay, Mr. Len Marshall, that was Miss Montgomery's comments about Gene Dixon's comments on the Russian space thing. I asked her if outright, when I was talking to Gene Dixon, whether or not the Russians are, there's life on other planets. And she gave me some answers. She said, "Don't ask me that question." She said, "Be concerned about your home planet, as it were." So I guess we're going to have to wait until we get Gene on the air and find out whether or not there is life on other planets. Len, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Very good. I'd just like to say that I have enjoyed your program many times, and certainly want to congratulate you on it.
Well, you're very, very kind, sir. Good night, Mr. Len Marshall from Iowa, listener on WHO. And I'd like to invite you to join us here at Night Call and give us your comments on Gene Dixon or whether or not you believe that people can foretell the future. You can call us here at Night Call by giving us a buzz at area code 313-84-84. 66601. Now, the lines are now open, and you may call us from anywhere in the United States Collect. Now, please make that call station to station. The number is area code 313-84-6-6-6-0-1. If you get a busy signal, just hang up and dial again. Area code 313-84-6-6-6-0-1. Our guest tonight, Miss Ruth Montgomery. Our topic, A Gift of Prophecy, the new book on Gene Dixon, the gal who predicted the assassination of President Kennedy. You are tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, night people. Our topic tonight, Jean Dixon, the gal who predicts the future. It's a new book by Ruth Montgomery, and of course the title of that book is A Gift of Prophecy, which is now on sale. A very interesting book and a very revealing book about a real amazing gal. If you'd like to call us here at Night Call and comment about Jean Dixon, give us a buzz at area code 313-846-6601. The lines are now open. That's area code 313-846-6601. We'll continue now our recorded interview with Ruth Montgomery. And I think the question that I asked Ruth was something to this effect. Would you say that Jean is the greatest prophet alive today?
I have no way of knowing what other prophets are alive today. I'm afraid I can't answer that. I think that Jean is a remarkable prophet, but that would be like my saying that someone is the greatest, the most beautiful woman who ever lived. I haven't seen all women.
Mrs. Dixon predicted the Kennedy assassination. Why didn't she get word to President Kennedy?
She tried desperately to get word to him. Beginning about 2 or 3 months before the event, she saw the black cloud in a vision moving down on the White House and knew that it was to be soon and that it would occur during a trip south. She rushed over to Kay Halley, a friend of hers, who was a very good friend of the Kennedy family and of the president, and she begged her and pleaded with her to get word to him not to take the trip south or he would be assassinated. Then she begged Eleanor Baumgardner, another friend of hers here, who was at that time working for Mrs. Eunice Kennedy Shriver, to get word to her brother not to take the trip south. But both of these friends were, just as you or I would have been, extremely reluctant to carry such a strange message to a very activist, healthy young president, and the word was never carried to him. Jean knew that since he did not know her personally, it would have been fruitless for her ever to try to get the message to him in person.
Did you know about the Kennedy assassination vision before the general public?
Yes, in the book I tell about the fact that about 3 or 4 weeks before the assassination, Jean telephoned me one day with great urgency in her voice, said, "Ruth, there's something going to happen that will not save for your New Year's column. It's going to occur before then. It's terrible. May I come right over and tell you about it?" She came rushing over by taxi, came in, was absolutely breathless, and said, "I've just had a vision in which I saw the two black hands of death reach up and remove Lyndon Johnson's name from the vice presidential door. As this occurred, the name of the man who would cause it flashed past my eyes. It went too quickly for me to remember in full, but it was a 5 or 6 letter word of 2 syllables. The first letter was either a Q or an O, the second letter was an S, and the last one had a little tail on it that went straight up in the air." Well, of course, at that time, Billy Saul Estes was prominently in the news, and some of Mr. Johnson's critics were suggesting that perhaps this fellow Texan was mixed up in the same chicanery. Therefore, I asked her if it could be Estes, thinking that perhaps this meant that Mr. Kennedy would drop him from the ticket. And she said, "Oh, no, 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 it isn't Estes. The first letter is definitely a closed, like a Q or an O." And she said, "Besides, it's not something of Mr. Johnson's own doing. It's something beyond his control, because these were the black hands of death. He's a victim of circumstances." Well, as we all know, a few weeks later, Oswald murdered President Kennedy, and his name began with an O. The second letter was an S. It was a 6-letter, 2-syllable word, and the D has a tail that goes straight up at the end.
President Johnson is conspicuously absent in A Gift of Prophecy as far as what is his future. Is there a reason for this?
I think that at some point in the book I told what her predictions were concerning him, or at least her psychic reaction to him when he was vice president. It's customary, not when I do a column about Jean, to say what she foresees for a president himself.
Ruth Montgomery commenting on Gene Dixon. And, of course, Ruth has written a new book called A Gift of Prophecy, which deals solely with the amazing Gene Dixon, the seer of Washington, D.C. We have a caller now from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN, Dr. Kobianchi. Hello, doctor. Speak right up, sir. You're on night call.
Yes. I wish to ask a question to Miss Montgomery. And before I ask the question, I want to say a word or two relative to some ability that I possess, which I believe perhaps Miss Gene Dixon practices the same. I'm in the area as a psychiatrist, and I'm totally blind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken postgraduate courses off and on. My last PG course in psychiatry was at Columbia University in 1963. And I was apprehended by some of the men there, a Dr. Barton, told me that I should go to Duke University and study parapsychology under Dr. Ryan. However, as a blind, because he and others have told me that I had a sensitivity above the average man that had normal vision. Now then, as a psychiatrist, it is in time after time, not only I am able to offer services, it is not uncommon that I can, even by telephone, tell patients various things about themselves in the health area. So the question I wish to present, does Miss Montgomery know, or you, sir, if Miss Gene Dixon practices parapsychology?
Well, now, you understand that Ruth Montgomery is not in the studio tonight, that all her replies were pre-recorded. And actually, the only one in the studio tonight is myself. So I do not have a reply to that direct question, but I do know this, that Gene Dixon will do this type of thing over the telephone. In other words, she can read over the telephone. However, she does not make a practice of it. In other words, it's for friends, usually, that she'll do this. For people that she does not know, she will not read, because she would be bogged down by doing readings continually. And she does not do this for money, you see. She will not accept money for her readings. So I think it's practically impossible for a normal individual, or an average, I should say, citizen, to call Gene Dixon. In fact, it'll be an amazing feat for somebody to get her telephone number. She's that hard to get a hold of. I do not think that the average person can expect Gene Dixon to read for them. However, that doesn't mean that you can't try.
But
now,
sir, may I ask you another question?
Yes, sir.
I don't know whether you answer my question. Are you knowledgeable whether or not she practices parapsychology, which is also known as extrasensory perception? Do you know that or not?
Well, in the book, they talk about this. And in the sense that, can she tell what's going on in other places or read over a telephone?
Well, when she's in contact with a person.
Right, yes.
It is known as parapsychology, is also known as ESP, extrasensory perception.
I think we'd have to say Gene can do this.
She practices this particular science, parapsychology.
I would say, in my opinion, yes. However, if you get a hold of the book, and it's now on your bookstand, A Gift of Prophecy, I'm sure that you'll find that Ruth will comment on this. Now, one question I do have that you might be interested in. I asked Ruth Montgomery, and let's see, my engineer is jumping here. Do people ever go out of their way to avoid Gene because they fear she may be able to read their minds? And here's what she said.
This I don't know. I have a little anecdote in there about a man I know who met her in a restaurant and rushed over when he heard that that was Mrs. Dixon in the restaurant and introduced himself, told her that he was a friend of mine, and started talking with her. And every time, just before he would start to say something else, she had put his thought into words so that he laughingly jumped up and said, "I can't stand it. If you're going to sit here and read every single thought I have, I'm going to have to leave." And Gene smiled and said, "Well, before you leave, I do want to tell you to see a doctor. You could save your life if you would." Well, this weighed on his mind so much. He said he was never had felt better in his life. He had taken off some weight, and everybody told him how well he looked. But finally, although he was here from San Francisco, He did go to the doctor for a checkup, to a strange doctor who knew nothing about his background. And after some tests, the doctor had the nurse take him in and put him on a bed in the office and said he'd have to stay there about an hour, shot an injection into him, and said, "It's a miracle that you didn't go into a state of shock. You'll have to stay here until this has passed and until I'm sure it's safe for you to leave, and you'll have to..." It turned out that he was a diabetic, and he said, "You can never take a chance on this again. You could have died if you hadn't walked in here when you did."
Doctor, did that answer your question?
It does. Now, sir, you mentioned the book. Miss Ruth Montgomery, as well as Miss Jean Dixon, both have a book on the market?
No.
They do?
Ruth... Yes. Has written the book about Jean Dixon.
All right, and under what title, under what name,
A
sir?
Gift of Prophecy.
What's for?
A Gift of Prophecy.
All right, sir, and I want to say one more word before leaving, please.
Yes, sir.
I listen to your program almost nightly. In fact, I even stay up some night to keep myself awake. I find it not only interesting, sir, I find it very rewarding as I obtain some knowledge from it, and thank you very much.
Well, you're very kind, Doctor.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Kobianchi from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLN. And our topic tonight has been the new book by Ruth Montgomery, A Gift of Prophecy. And, of course, the book deals with the amazing Jean Dixon. And if you'd like to get a hold of this book, it's published by William Morrow & Company. And it came on the bookshelves the 25th of this month. Tomorrow night on Night Call, our guest will be Professor Harm Bruning. Our topic, how to fly a spaceship. Until then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station. As a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.